Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah 2. If you are a young person here this morning, you can head on with Miss Carol down for Children's Church. They always have a good time in there. All right, great to see young people heading down that way. Good to see some young people here this morning. Amen? And that's a great thing. Nehemiah chapter 2. If you'll turn there, we're going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture this morning. This is going to be a little bit of a different kind of a message. We're going to look at some of the things that we're looking to do for 2014. All the governors do a State of the State address and that kind of stuff. And obviously, we're looking at the Word of God this morning, so that's not what that this is intended to be. But we're going to kind of weave in to this passage of Scripture what we hope to accomplish in 2014. And what we've done and what we look to do. And of course, we're always looking to glorify the Lord in everything we say and do. Amen. And so that's kind of the idea, the message this morning, and kind of how we're going to go about things. So while you're at Nehemiah chapter 2, as I mentioned to you last week, one of our theme verses for this year is Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It's in the back of your bulletin where it says, "But where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." And last week we discussed the importance of growing in the Word of God, and the importance of the Word of God being in our life, and the importance of just God's Word infiltrating and permeating every part of who you and I are. It's vital to us as an individual, as well as to us as a church, and it's also important as we impact our community, that the Word of God is part of that. And so that's kind of a theme springboarding. Then if you look in Nehemiah chapter 2 for us this morning. And in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this: "It came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart.' So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.' Then the king said to me," the queen also sitting beside him, "'How long will your journey be, and when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates and to the citadels, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall and for the house that I will occupy.' And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Verse 9, "Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river, gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel." Verse 11 says, So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate, the serpent well, and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate, into the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or others who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be reproached.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work. And you'll notice in verse number 18, the last phrase there, where it says, they set their hands to do this good work. Friends, we are here today and we're in 2014 and we are in the Lord's work. And the Lord's work is always a good work. It's the greatest of works. As I've said before, we have the good news. It's the greatest news we'll ever receive, is the great news of Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for you and for me. And I am grateful to know that here in God's house, we can proclaim that we are doing a good work, because it is God's work that we do. It's my prayer in 2014 that as a church family, we seek to do God's work and do it together for His honor and for His glory. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank You so much for this time and Your word. I pray that You would stir us, challenge us, encourage us. Father, I pray for those that are hurting today, that You would encourage them. Thank You, Father, for those that have come out, Lord, that have been sick. Lord, just give them strength. I pray that You would be with those that are unable to be with us today. Lord, give them the rest that they need. Lord, I pray that You would encourage us today in Your word. And Lord, challenge us, prepare us for the work that lies ahead. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the things that I have said often, and I will say again, is I am grateful for our church and for the heritage and the history that it has. One of the things that we cannot get over here is the foundation of God's word that we stand upon. That is a great thing. It's good to have Pastor Reed here today. I didn't know he was going to be here, but I am glad he's here, because I've said it publicly. I'll say it privately. I've said it all over the place. I am grateful for a church with the amount of years that we have here and the consistency and the teaching and preaching of God's word. We should never get tired of hearing that kind of thing. It's not common, and it doesn't happen often. Brother, thank you very much. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful to come to a place and to serve the Lord where that has been the norm, if you will. It's been the norm to proclaim God's word, to teach God's word, to hear God's word. You should thank God and worship God that you had a chance to grow in a church such as that. Praise God for godly leadership. Amen. Well, as we begin 2014, some things change and some things stay the same, don't they? How many of you already messed up a check by writing 2013? Anybody yet? No? Oh, we've got a few already mess up a check. All right. It'll come eventually. I know I'll mess up the date here soon. It's going to come. I am so grateful, though, that as we do make changes, we continue to go forward for the cause of Christ. I like Steve Sommerfeld. Are you in here? Where's Steve? Come on up here, Steve. Dan, come on up. One of the things that I am so grateful for is, I've already mentioned, our leadership. Last Sunday, Dave Goon, as I read on Wednesday evening, Dave, come on up, buddy. Dave sent us a letter of resignation to step down from the Board of Deacons because of his health concerns. And me and the men were talking about it, and I am grateful, as I already mentioned about Pastor Reed, I'm grateful for men like Dave who, in blood, sweat, and tears in this place, invested into every one of you, including myself. And I am incredibly indebted to Dave for all that he has done, is doing, will continue to do for our church, but for the history that he's continued to put forth. And we are going to pray for Dave and thank Dave. Let's give Dave a hand for what he's done here at Berean. Let's pray for Dave, shall we? Father, I thank You so much for this day and for Dave Goon, and Lord, for his continued work and effort here at our church. I pray that You would, Lord, bless him, continue to bless his days, be with his health. Lord, strengthen him, and we thank You, Father, for what he's been able to do as a servant for You in this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we want to thank Dave so much. Let's give him a hand. We certainly do praise the Lord for him. And with that in mind, I hope that we'll continue to pray for Dave and also for our deacons. Pray for the ones that we ratified on Wednesday evening, for Steve, for Gary, for Tim, and for Dan. We also voted in Jeff Holtz as well to go back to 5 deacons. And these men need our prayers. Why? Because we're not looking to just go status quo, are we? I used to tell students all the time I taught school. When I taught school, you know, that whole C average thing. How many know about C averages are, you know? Yeah, Andrew's a school teacher. I used to tell kids, listen, if you're a C student, it's okay. But if you're an A student, and you're pulling C's, Houston, we have a problem. You know what I mean? And a lot of people just skate by. That's good enough. My basketball team, I'd say the same thing. Listen, if if you're on a scale of 0 to 100, if you're a 95 player and you're putting out 80, I'm going to find a way to get the other 15 out of you. One way or the other. Does that make sense? As a church, we are not just an average entity. We're the church of the living God. We don't do it in my strength or your strength. We do it in the power of Jesus Christ. So as a result, as we strive, there are times that we strive in faith. In other words, we take steps that we don't always understand or we see. And so as a result, there are going to be times that it's going to be, this is going to be a challenge. Or how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Now, I'm going to share some things this morning with you that are just some dreams and visions that we hope to do. It doesn't mean we're going to do them all. We may not do any of them. But I believe this. If we have a goal and we begin to seek for it, we'll begin to push forward. Does that make sense? So I'm going to mention a couple things to you this morning that have been on my heart and mind. We've discussed. And maybe some of these things will work. Maybe they won't work. Does that make sense? But sometimes we have to take a step in order to see what's the best step and the next step for the cause of Christ for us. What if we've been talking, and I tell you what my wife and I said this when we first came to visit. I am grateful for our worship team and for the effort and energy that they put in to our worship service. Praise God for that. When we first came to visit, the first thing we noticed was that because we said, you know, here's a church that wants to do things in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord in song. Praise God for that. But many of you said to me, well, what about a choir? We got a choir. What about a choir? Well, why don't we find out if we can get some folks to become part of an ensemble or choir to even help and support and back up our worship team? Be more involved, have more energy, to have more direction towards our worship. Why? Just to honor and glorify the Lord. Get some people involved and get some people using their talents and abilities. Remember this, part of stewardship, you know, when I was growing up, stewardship always meant one thing, money. But part of stewardship is the talents that God's given to you to use them for His glory. That's part of it. So maybe your talent is in the music area. Man, listen, let's get involved. Let's get plugged in. Let's be faithful serving Him. What if we found some new ways to engage our culture and our community? What if we hosted some unchurched events? What if we had a trunk or treat around October to get folks that are some kids that are not normally here on campus to share the gospel and invite them to things that we have on Sundays and Wednesdays? What if we're going to have a vacation Bible school at the end of July? Looking forward to that. I hope you'll be praying for that and your part in that. A vacation Bible school, even though it's 1 week, takes a lot of effort, energy, and time. I'll tell you this. I have one of my former students, Stephen Beppel. I know Andrew knows him. He's a student at Pensacola Christian College. And he has already made it clear, already let the men know, that he wants to do an internship. So he'll be here for 3 weeks this summer. And I've made sure that since he's nice and young, we'll have him here for Vacation Bible School to be involved in that ministry. Why am I telling you these things? I'm telling you these things because I believe, personally, it helps me if I know where am I going. How many of you follow your GPS? How many of you know what a GPS is? How many of you don't know and don't care about what GPS is? All right, never mind. Okay. All right. Is that why it took you so long to get back from Illinois? Huh? No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm a GPS follower. But one thing I will do, especially if I know where I'm going, I'll turn the GPS on and I'll see lists of directions. I'll tap on it. How is this thing taking me there? And I don't like that. I'm going to go a different way. I'll follow to that point, then I know where I'm going. Okay? Sometimes that pays off. Sometimes it doesn't pay off. Okay? But for the most part, I know, all right, I know what's going on here. I know why it's moving me this direction. That's a bad idea. I know a better way to go that way, and I'm going to go this way. Point being is this, is that sometimes a GPS is great because it shows you where you're heading and where you're going and how long, how many miles. Okay? And I believe sometimes for us, it's good for us to have an idea of where we're heading, what we're looking to do, What's the goal? And so I hope that even now you'll be praying about Vacation Bible School, end of July, and to make plans to be a part of it and be involved and all those things, okay? Guys, would you hand out those calendars? I've asked a couple of guys to hand out. This is just a basic sheet. There's no slides today. Again, I told you it's going to be a little bit different. Feel free to take one, put on your refrigerator or on your mirror or wherever it is that you frequent. I'll let you decide that, okay, for yourself. But this is just a basic outline of what we're looking to do in 2014. Now, again, remember, this is not all-inclusive. This is just, here's a start. And understand this, too. I'm not giving you this calendar to say, put it in ink on your calendar and you better be here. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying, here's the things we want to accomplish. Let's be part together. Let's be partners in Christ. Amen? And so that's the idea behind this. It's not the end-all. It's not the that's your final answer. This is where we're heading, what we're looking to do. What if we were able to, including Vacation Bible School, what if we found a way to sponsor a youth softball or baseball team in the community? I don't know what that means and how that entails, but what if we did that and encouraged them and had a banquet for the team? I don't know. I don't know what all that entails. But what if we were able to do that in some way, looking for ways to engage our culture, to engage our community? Someone recently was telling me, They invited somebody to church here that they were familiar with our after school program, and they had no idea that we were a Baptist church. You say, yeah, but it's on the sign. You and I know that, but don't assume everybody that comes by here or pulls in our parking lot knows who or what we are. What I'm trying to get you to realize is that as we engage our culture, sharing what Christ has done for us and what our church wants to do in culture is not as understood as you might think that it would be in this day and age. And so, again, we're just talking about some things that maybe we can accomplish. Hosting a community group. I know some churches that have had groups to meet on a Thursday or Tuesday or Friday night, and they're not directly related to the gospel, but they're ways to invite people for a meeting. Maybe it's on depression, or maybe it's on this or that, and they meet, and the pastor leads it, or somebody in the church leadership leads it, and then a pastor was telling me that they had a chance to share the gospel and invite people to church through that group that is not directly associated with a church meeting. Finding ways to engage culture for the cause of Christ. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what our desire should be, to glorify the Lord and how we serve Him and how we relate to others and meet people? When you think about the Apostle Paul, when he went through some places, he would see where they were and then begin the discussion at that point and then bring the gospel into it. May the Lord help us to have vision in that sense as we engage people. This past December, we had the Angel Tree. I'm going to change the name of that. Nothing against Angel Tree, but I changed it to Christmas Gifts for Jesus. You know, we were blessed because of you folks and the folks down in the parents of the daycare to be able to distribute about $850 in gifts. Praise God for that. Isn't that great? What if we were able to, and again, I'm just talking to you now today. This is kind of like a family town hall kind of thing. What if we're able to do that and then a little bit more maybe for some folks that have no connection to our church, just folks in the community that are in need? Praise God for what came in this year and what we're able to do. I'm not putting that down. I was blown away. But again, just looking at ways to engage our culture, to reach people in our community that are in great, great need. You see, these are all areas that we need help. We were blessed this year, obviously, because I'm the pastor. Our family joined. But also we had the Hamiltons join. There's a few other people that have come to me and asked for membership information. Quite frankly, we need your help. Why? We need your help in areas like children's ministries. You say, well, I don't teach. Listen, having someone just to be there to help, those of you that teach, you can tell people, that's a huge help to have someone just there to make sure that Johnny is sitting where he's supposed to be sitting and not, flying a kite in his mind and whatever else that is he's doing. It's just helpful. Having people who are willing to serve the nursery. Right now we got three or four people that are willing to serve in the nursery. What if we had eight? Then it was every other month instead of every month. Again, I'm just talking to you this morning about things we can do to help so that if we all take a piece of the load, it's less of a load and we go further together. What a blessing it is. Listen, I'm thankful for all of you that serve here. I'm so grateful. There's some things that I don't even ever think about and it just gets done. I think of our ushers and greeters and even in the sound area. I don't even think about the stuff. It's just handled. Music ministry, it's just taken care of. Praise God for those things. I hope you understand my focus this morning is not what's wrong. It's what can we do together to continue forward. And some ideas to instigate our prayer and thinking as to what can we do more for Christ. What else can I be involved in to impact? Well, Pastor, I don't even know. I mean, I don't sing and I don't do this. I don't. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you willing? God will use a willing heart over talent every time. God will use a willing heart over talent every time. I'm not talented. That's not. Listen, God will say to the person, think about this, Samuel, here am I. Speak, Lord, for that servant. It was a kid. And the high priest said, whoa, that's the Spirit of God talking to you. You need to go in and obey him. And that passage tells us that he obeyed him immediately and completely. Praise God for the humble, willing heart of his servants. One of the things that I love about our church is the family atmosphere that we have here. Remember when we had the Pie and Praise Fellowship around Thanksgiving? My wife made a comment that night. She said, you know, what we have here is not as common as you think it would be. We've had the chance to be around some churches in the East Coast, Georgia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. You know, we've been around a little bit. What a blessing it is to come together and fellowship in a family like we do. It's a wonderful thing. Don't take that for granted. But let's also realize that as a family, the body of Christ, God wants us to come before him and lay at his feet. Lord, I don't have much to offer you, but what I have, I offer you. Do with it as you will. Lord, I don't have, think about this. Think about the widow. As Jesus sat with his disciples on the outside of the temple, back then they did offerings different. They had like a ram's horn that fell into a box. And as you walked in, they dropped their offering in. And apparently on that day, as Jesus sat somewhere along the away, his disciples, and they were kind of talking, he was just sitting there watching. And people came in, and a little widow came in and had a mite, half of a penny. She dropped it in. And Jesus said, did you guys see that? She just gave the most. And they went, what are you talking about? She gave a half of a penny. People came in here and gave thousands today, however you want to put it, you know. He said, no. She gave all that she had. You see, it's not the amount. It's the heart behind the amount. It's not the ability. It's the heart behind the ability. It's not the master talent. It's the heart behind that master talent. And friends, I'm here to tell you that while perhaps you say, well, maybe I can, are you willing to lay it at Jesus' feet? Why am I telling you all this? It's just because I want you to realize that we're a blessed church. And we've been blessed to accomplish much, but there's much more to be accomplished. I remember as I grew up in New Jersey at Open Bible, and Andrew understands this, having been from there now for a few years. Church there had a great heritage, tremendous heritage. But I remember as I got a little bit older, it was always talked about, you know, back in the days when we were running 1,000. You know, back in the days when they had to put chairs in the aisles and this, that, and the other. And listen, it's great, as I've already mentioned this morning twice, three times, it's great to have heritage. But we can't live on heritage. Because and here's the reason. Don't miss this reason. Because the world around us is lost. It has nothing to do with who is or who isn't here. It has nothing to do with what was or what wasn't done. It has everything to do with the fact that the responsibility of the local church is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and our culture needs it today more than ever. That's the reason. It has nothing to do with, well, this building wasn't here then, or that wasn't there, or it used to be this color. That is not relevant. What is relevant is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's relevant because Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for my sin and for yours and for the person that's yet to hear it, even maybe in our own community. That's the reason why it's important. You say, Pastor, why are you so passionate about this? I'm passionate because as great as 2013 was, it's already gone. And I don't know about you, but it seems like years just keep getting faster and faster. We are running out of time to reach our culture. Turn on the news for 15 minutes. Get back to me. You know, you all know. You all are well read and well understood. I'm not talking to people who don't know what's going on. Our culture is a disaster. It is spiritually corrupt. It is morally inept. And you can continue. And friends, if we as believers don't get in the book, don't get behind the mission of the local church, then all that's going to continue to happen is the outside's going to filter on into the inside of the local church. That's why on Sunday nights we just finished looking at the book of Jude, contending continually for the faith. I encourage you, get in God's Word. Be in it. If you can be here, be here. Sunday mornings we're looking at right now in Bible class on church. What is real church? I encourage you. You say, well, I'm not a member here and I don't. Listen, come Sunday mornings, 9:45. We spend about 5 minutes singing a song, we pray together, and then we just spend about 30 minutes looking at a lesson on what is church. Right now we're talking about what is real worship. I'd love to have you for that class. It'd be a great time. Monica teaches a class as well for only women. Love to have you part of that class. Okay? Sunday nights, we're starting a series tonight on the life of David. Fascinating series about David and how some of the things that he was involved in, a man after God's own heart, and yet sinned so prolifically. How do these things apply to you and to me? We have a great time on Sunday nights. Love to have you. We're here from 6:45. Again, why am I telling you this? Because I believe that if, as the local church, we can become together in unity and fellowship behind the common goal of the local church, we can do great things in 2014 for Christ. That's the reason. And the more we fellowship in Him and in His Word, the more we worship together, our hearts are knit like Jonathan and David, and things become accomplished. Everybody has a copy of that handout now? You'll notice, again, I'm not going to read through this whole calendar. This coming Saturday is soup night. Sunrise service, April 20th. It's Easter Sunday. Church barbecue and picnic, August the 10th. Ice cream freeze-off. We got to have that again. That was a hit. You know, we tried the ice cream freeze-off one more time. And one of my great memories of that was I'm watching Dave Goon roll it down the hallway to the kids and rolling it back. You know, that was good stuff right there, you know. It was good, too. It was good ice cream. Pie and praise, night of music, Christmas caroling, all of these things on here. Again, this is not the end-all. Just trying to get you a glimpse of where we want to head. Notice on some things to accomplish. We just finished our budget meeting on Wednesday evening, and one of the things we did, we increased our missions by $3,900. Now, I'll tell you, that could be a step of faith for our church. We increased our our weekly offering from, I think it's 22 right now to 2,500. Okay? Why am I telling you these things? Because we as a church, family, need to get behind these things in order for us to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And Sean, here, we set aside some money for some furnaces that are overdue. What are we doing? We're trying to plan a little bit ahead for 2014 and beyond. If the foundation isn't secure, what's left later on down the road? I was going to tell you this morning about a plan for, you'll see there, about putting some new Bibles in our pews. Some of our Bibles have seen better days. I was going to tell you this morning we're going to open up a fund, and if you'll give to that fund, once we get enough money, we'll purchase them. Cancel that. Huge blessing the last week or so, and we had a large gift donated, and they've already been purchased. I think we've got enough. If not, I'll come back to you. But praise God for that. Amen. And so there's one thing that we're looking to do here soon. They should be here in a couple days, and maybe be even in the pews by next week. Amen for that. You know? Look, when people come to visit us, I want them to feel welcomed. And what I mean is, it's not just a handshake and a, hey, how are you doing? I hope they can open the Bible in front of them and find what we're looking at and be helpful in that area. Let me just say this to you as well. Maybe you don't know your Bible very well. I beg of you, don't be ashamed to open the table of contents and find the book that we're in. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed if it takes you longer than everybody else did to find a piece of scripture. That's okay. I'd rather you take 5 minutes and find it and see what's going on than just taking someone's word for it. Acts talks about the Berean Christians of the original Berea being normal noble. Why? Because they proved whether those things were so. Man, open your Bible. I encourage you. Get that thing open and look at it. Okay? Again, I'm telling you all these things so that we can understand perspective. Folks come in here from community that they have no idea of what church is. They should be able to sit down and open up a Bible that is prepared for them there in the pew and hear the scripture, and it makes sense because the Holy Spirit is able to speak to them the same way He was able to speak to you and is able to speak to you today. Praise God for that privilege that we have. You see at the bottom of that page, goals I mentioned to you last week for 2014. Grow in His Word. We spoke on that last week. Next week we're going to discuss growing in fellowship. We'll discuss growing in grace down the road, growing in maturity. I hope that you'll pray for these things. I hope that you'll pray for our church finances and the budget and our missionaries. Not just financially, but pray for them even, Lord, just pray for them. Joy Heart over in Africa and others, I know. Brother Fogel heading, where's he going, Micah? Where's Brother Fogel heading? Chad Africa here real soon, okay? And others. Praying for their needs and for their travels and all that entails. I'm excited for what God has for us. Turn over back to Nehemiah. Maybe you haven't turned yet, but turn to Nehemiah again. Look at verse 19. I didn't read verse 19 yet. Nehemiah 2:19 says, "But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they were excited and couldn't wait to help." That's not what your Bible says? Yeah, mine either. Making sure you're paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. It says, they laughed at us and despised us. Laughed at us and despised. Have you ever had a good idea before? And you're like, hey, I got an idea. And everybody goes, what are you, nuts? Listen, I realize some of the things I threw at you this morning, they may not be humanly possible. I don't know. I do know this, I serve a God that with all things are possible. And they may not be feasible for us this year, I don't know. But I know this, I know that no matter what you try to do for Christ, there will be opposition. Look, if you did something this simple, if you said, Lord, please give me one chance this week to share the gospel with somebody. And that should be a prayer that we should probably put out by the week. Something will happen that makes that not feasible? Something. God, please give me one opportunity to share the gospel. Satan will do everything in his power to hinder us from doing what he would have us to do. Lord, may it be my desire this week to invite somebody to church. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out this morning. And something will happen to where that becomes a huge insurmountable thing. So are we relying upon our own strength? Or are we walking by faith in the Lord? As a church family this morning, my prayer is that we come together in unity to accomplish this thing. What are some things we did in 2013? For as far as study is concerned, we studied unity for quite a while. We looked at Joshua 1, 2, and 3. We also looked at Luke 1 and 2, studied the book of Acts. In 2014, in our morning series, we're going to look at this Grow series for a little while. We're going to look at 2 Peter, and then we're going to work on Joshua come this summer some. In our evening services, I just mentioned to you, we're going to look at the life of David. Also, just so you know, I mentioned this before, but every once in a while on the evening services, I will answer a question. If you have a Bible question that you've always wondered about, feel free to write it into me or type it into me or email it to me and hand it to me. I'll try to prepare for that, and then I'll answer it on a Sunday night service. So looking to do that. Bible class, right now we're looking to finish up this Real Church series. I have a creation study I want to do, maybe study church membership and even the book of James. And again, I'm just telling you these things so that, listen, if we aren't excited about what the Lord's doing in our church, why is anybody else going to be excited? When I was in high school, my basketball team wasn't very good. Didn't invite a lot of folks to come watch me play. You know, I was a freshman in high school. Our high school went to 10th grade. There was no junior and senior class yet. They were building the school by 1 year. So as a freshman in high school, I was a starting point guard in the varsity team. Our sophomores were our seniors. We were playing juniors and seniors every night. Boy, was it rough. I remember at the foul line, I had a kid named Steve Barber on my team. I'm like, Steve, wouldn't it be nice to be home right now watching the A team? You know, rather get beat by 25. Yeah, it would be nice. You know, it was rough. You know, it was discouraging at times. It was lonely on the court once in a while. We wasn't inviting a ton of people out to watch us get beat by 30. I remember one time cheerleaders were out there cheering, "We're number one, second." I didn't hear cheerleaders often. I said, "Listen, ladies, if you ever do that again, one of my turnovers is going to be off one of your foreheads. How dare you cheer that we're down by 30? What on earth? What?" You know, I'm like, oh, my word. But, you know, as a believer, and I know I'm talking mostly this morning to folks that hang your spiritual hats here at Berean, we should have reason to be excited about what God is doing at Berean Baptist Church. We should have reason to celebrate and worship at Berean Baptist Church. We should have reason to say, boy, you know what? God is doing great things. What's going on? God is just good. You got to come hear the goodness of God. Again, I hope this is not being missed. I'm not saying this because, man, you got to come hear this guy preach. No. Please, no. I'm saying this because I get the privilege of proclaiming what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. And people need to hear that. Whether it's me or a guest that day, people need to hear what Jesus Christ has accomplished. It's finished. The work is finished. Now, responsibility falls upon you and me and the local church of 2014 to take up the baton, so to speak, and keep on going. I ran track. The biggest thing about running track was make sure that baton in the relay race gets from the guy coming full speed to the guy with his arm extended and get it at the highest speed possible to get the baton and keep going. But above everything else, don't drop the baton. You drop the baton, race is over. You pass out of the box, disqualified, over. Don't drop the baton. And what we're talking about this morning is this, as we begin to gear up for 2014, as cold as it is and the cold as it's going to be, let's not drop the baton. let's continue moving forward. Let's ask God, Lord, what's my part? I want you to notice this morning, I did not point out, you need to do this, you need to do that. I don't want that. I want God to impress upon you. Maybe I should give more to missions. Maybe I can give more for the overall budget. Maybe I can increase my giving. Maybe I can be involved in this ministry. I want the Lord to speak to my heart. I want the Lord to speak to you. Why? Because if we are only listening to a person, then our ministry will be very short-lived. But if we heed the Holy Spirit, listen, I can tell you, let me put it this way. I am content and excited to be at Berean Baptist Church in Marion, Ohio, because God brought me here. It wasn't anything. I mean, we just discussed the story once in a while, and it's just amazing how the pieces just fell into place. That's God's goodness and grace. And I want you to have that ownership, if you will, of what God has for you to all your heart, all your soul, and passion for the cause of Christ. Praise God for that. Amen. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. A little bit of a different invitation. What I want us to do this morning, I want us to just bow our heads and I want us to pray, Lord, give me what you would have for me at Berean Baptist Church in 2014. Maybe it involves membership. Maybe it involves increase in giving. Maybe it involves involved in XYZ ministry. Maybe it involves VBS. I don't know what it involves. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. But let us, at least as a church family, pray, God, what do you want me to do? Now listen, let me say this before we go to prayer. Make sure you're sincere in praying that. What do you mean? Well, sometimes God will extend us. Whoa, you want me to do what? Whoa. The pastor just said to pray this. You want me to do what ministry? You want me involved in, huh? Let us trust God as individuals to walk by faith so that our church can walk by faith. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Thank you so much for the privilege we have to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the picture and the example in Nehemiah of people who are willing to work. And then in Nehemiah 4, it says they had a mind to work for this good work. Thank you, Lord, for the good work of the local church here at Berean. Father, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts what you would have us to do as individuals, to be actively engaged and involved in 2014. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, I know this was not a salvation message. If you're here this morning saying, you know, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I'm saved. I've never been born again. Would you just pray for me? I want to be a part of this. Oh, I know you're here, but I mean, I want to be a part of this on a whole different level. Would you please pray for me? I'm not even sure if I'm saved. Just slip your hand out quietly. Anybody at all? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Maybe you're here. You say, you know, Pastor, I want to pray with you that God will give me wisdom and that God will do His will in my life. Would you pray with me this morning? How many of you say, Pastor, would you pray with? I'll pray with you this morning that I will do God's will in ministry at Berean 2014. Just slip your hand up quietly. Yes, several hands. Let's pray quietly. You're welcome to come to the altar. Let's just remain seated this morning. Let's pray quietly that God will give us wisdom in doing our part in ministry in 2014. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this time we've been spending your word. I do pray once again that, Lord, you would help each and every one of us to search the scriptures, to seek you. Lord, that you would enable us, Father, to have the same desires that you would have for us. Help us, Father, be willing to take a step by faith. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for the heart of our church. I pray that you would, Lord, enable us, Father, to engage our culture. Lord, help us, Father, to give, to continue to give faithfully, to continue to be involved in ministry faithfully, Lord, to expand in other areas of ministry. Lord, that we would just trust you for what you'll have for us in 2014. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.